Shalom to all. Today's daf is Chol and Daf Kuf Chav Ches. So we are starting the ninth line with the words Rav Amar. And today's daf is sponsored by Nishmas Marsh Merim Tzara Bas Biyaka Moshe Hernish Amar should have an Aliyah. So we're discussing Basar or Aver Medodol of an animal, and Rameir Rav Shimon argued with the Mishnah if Shechita of the animal is Machshir the Medodol part. Rameir said yes, and Rav Shimon said no. And we already had two explanations of the Machloikes, Rabba and Abaye. Rabbi Yochanan agreed to Abaye, but it's really the same thing. And now we move on to four more. So here's the third one. Rav Amar, he says B'yesh Yad L'Tumah in Yad L'Hechshak Meflegi. Their whole Machloikes is, do we say that there's a Yad L'Tumah but not Yad L'Hechshir? This is the exact opposite of Rabba. Rabba said, their whole machlokes is, do we say that the main body of the animal becomes a yad for the small aver, which is medoldol? Rabba saying it's the other way around. Meir Savar, Reb Shimon holds, yesh yad l'tumah v'ein yad l'hechshir. There is yad l'tumah, but the animal is not a yad for the aver medoldol to be machshir l'kabel tumah. Whereas Meir Savar, Meir holds, yesh yad l'tumah u'l'hechshir. There's both yaders for tumah and hechshir. Moving on to the fourth explanation, Rav Papa Amar, he says, v'hechshir koy the machshava k'meflegi. They're arguing about if the hechshir took place before the machshava that he wants this thing to be considered eichlin, is that hechshir valid? Where do we see this? It's really the Tanya of a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda tells us, Kacha Rabbi Kiva Shaina, this Rabbi Kiva would teach, Chelev Shchuta Bekfarim, Tzarech Machshava, Ve'in Tzarech Hechsher. Chelev of a Shechted animal, in the villages, it requires Machshava. A person has to think, okay, I want this to be considered food, but it does not require Hechsher. Why not? Shekmar Hochsher B'Shchita, because it's ready Mochsher from the Shchita, the animal. Now let's just pause to explain over here. Chelev is not usually eaten, it's just fat. Now in the city where there was a shortage of meat, people will eat Chelev, so it's automatically considered Eichlin. However, in the Kfarim, the villages, there's not so many people, and an abundance of meat, so chelev does need machshava for it to be considered food. However, as Rabbi Kiva is teaching now, once that machshava is in place, no hechsher is needed because it was already mochsher from the shechita of the animal. And now we continue with Rabbi Yehuda relating what happened. Amarti lefanav, I said in front of him, Matin Rabbeinu, you taught us that olshin shalakten vidichin lebehema, if a person gathered olshin, which is endives or chicory, and he washed them off, but his intention was to use them for an animal, and we know that animal food is not makabel tumah, but then v'nimachalim l'adam, he changed his mind and said, you know what, I want this for people. I want this to be human food, and that human food could be makabel tumah. So Rabbi Kiva told us that tzrichas hechsher sheni, it requires a second hechsher because the original time when he had washed them off, it wasn't considered hechsher l'kabel tumah because it was meant for an animal. So now that he decides that they're eichlin for people, they require second hechsher. And because Rabbi Kiva liyas shayna k'Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Kiva retracted and started teaching like Rabbi Yehuda, namely if something underwent hechsher before it was officially considered eichlin, that hechsher wasn't valid. And that goes back to our Mishnah. Mar Savar la k'mei kara, Rabbi Meir holds like the original understanding of Rabbi Kiva that even if it underwent hechsher before it was officially considered food, that's still considered mochsher l'kabel tumah, and that's the Aver Medoldol of our Mishnah. Then when he shechted it, that's Machshir L'Kabel Tumah. Gemar Savar L'Kechazara, Reb Shimon holds like Rabbi Kiva's retracted opinion where it's not considered Hechsher. Moving on to the fifth understanding, Rav Achim Bridger of Ikka Amar, he says, Ben Eskaneh Hadam Bein Simon L'Sim K'mifilgi. Their machlokes is, when the blood was wiped off in between the Simonim. Now according to this, both Rav Meir and Reb Shimon agree that there's no Yadais for Hechsher, so the Aver itself needs to become wet with blood. So what happened? At the beginning of Shechita, blood fell on it. That blood was wiped off, then the Shechita was completed. Now here's something important. Liquid can only be machshir l'kabel tumah if it's considered a mashke, loosely translated as beverage. Now, not all blood has that status. Blood from a wound or cut, for example, is not a mashke. Only something classified as dam chalalim or dam shchita is a mashke. So this blood, which was wiped off the aver before the shchita was finished, is that considered dam shchita? That's where the machlokes is. Marsav Vermeer holds, yesh al shchita mitchila v'ad soif, that shchita is from beginning till end, which means the entire act of shchita from beginning till end is halachically considered shchita, and therefore v'hai dam shchita hu. This blood, which had fallen off the aver at the beginning of the shechita and then was wiped off, is considered dam shechita, and therefore it's machshir l'kabel tumah. Whereas Amar Rav Shimon holds in el shechita el soif, the official halachic act of shechita is only at the end when he finishes it, and therefore v'hai dam makahu, this blood which had originally fallen on the limb and then was subsequently wiped off is just considered dam makah because it was there before the end of shechita, and that's our machlokes. Lastly, Rav Ashi Amar, he says b'shechita machsheres v'loy dam k'mefilgi. Their machlokes is about shechita being machshir and not dam. What does that mean? So according to this opinion, they both agree that yes, yados l'hechshir, and yes, the animal is a yad to the aver. It's just a machlok about something totally different. Rav Shimon holds that the blood of shechita is not a machshir. It's the act of shechita itself which is the machshir. However, it's only machshir on something that would be mutter to eat. And this aver that we're discussing isn't mutter to eat, so it's not machshir l'kabel tumah. Whereas according to Rav Meir, the blood is a machshir, and it's machshir everything, including the aver. So these are different understandings of the machlok between Rav Meir, Rav Shimon, and Rav Mishnah. Now, continuing with one of the discussions by Rabbi, he asks as follows: Behema b'chayeha ma'ushet yasiyal la'aver. What about a behema when it's alive? Is it considered a yad for the aver? And he concludes teku. Let's explain this. This is Rabbi Lashitasai. He had said, and he was really the first explanation of Mishnah at the bottom of the previous Amud, and then the Machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Shimon, is whether the animal could be a yad for the aver medoldol. And Rav Meir had said yes. So his question is, in Shitas Rav Meir, what about when the animal is alive? Is it considered a yad for that aver medoldol? For example, let's say it touches a nevela. Does the tumah go through the animal to the aver medoldol or not? On one hand, a live animal can't become tameh, so maybe it can't act as a yad, or maybe not, and a yad is a yad. And that's what concludes teiku. And now we're going to have another four questions, which are very similar, all based on the same concept, where we have two parts of one thing. One could be makabel toma, the other one can't. Do we say that one side acts as a yad for the other? So Rabbi Abaye says as follows, Hare Amru, they said that kishas shenata ba'atzot, a kishas, which is sometimes translated as a cucumber, that was planted in an atzot, a flower pot, and this is referring to an atzot she'enu nakov, a non-perforated flower pot that for all intents and purposes is not considered to be connected to the ground, so anything growing in it is able to be makabel toma, and v'higdila, this grew, that's chutz la'atzot, and a bunch of the leaves, maybe even some of the vegetable itself, went outside the flower pot, so tahira it's tar, which means even if it was originally tameh, now that it's over the flower pot, it's considered connected to the ground, draws nourishment from the air, and now it loses its status of tumah. However, Rav Shimon asks on this, what exactly is its nature that now you're able to metair it? Ella rather, the tameh part, which is the part inside the flower pot, that remains tameh, and the part that's outside the flower pot, the branches or whatever it is, that becomes tahar. So now, Abaye asks as follows, in Shitas Rav Shimon, is it able to become a yad for the other part? The part which is outside the pot, which is not able to be makabel tumah. If that's touched by a dead sheretz, for example, does that act as a yad for the part which is inside the pot and metameh it or not? And we conclude here as well, teiku. Another question, Amar of Yirmi, he says as follows, Hare Amru, they said, Hamishtach vel chatzi delas asra, if a person bows down to half of a gourd, he asers it. That's because he's treating it as a avodah zarah. It's now considered a avodah zarah, and it's asr. Now we know that avodah zarah is asr ba'anah, and anything that's asr ba'anah loses its status of food, and so it's not makabel tumas eichlin. That's very key over here. So by Rabbi asks as follows, what about this half of the gourd? It could be a yad for the other half of the gourd that he did not bow down to. They're still lightly connected to each other. That has to be the situation. Let's say that Charis, for example, touches the half of the gourd which is avodah zarah. Could that be a yad for the next part to be metameh it? As we just said, the part which is avodah zarah is not considered eichlin, so it can't be makabel tumah, but does it act as a yad to transfer the tumah to the other part? And once again, we conclude teiku. Here we have a similar question. Amar Papi tells as follows, Hare Amru, they said, the yichur shel ta'ena shenefshach, a branch of a fig tree that broke off, umu'ur bekli pasa, but it's still lightly connected by its bark. So Rabbi Huda Matahir, Rabbi Huda says it's still tahar, all the fruit that's on it is not even makabel tumah because it's still connected to the tree. Whereas Chomer and Chom say it depends. Im yachal lechiyos tahar. If it's able to live, which means it can heal, if it's reconnected to the tree, it's going to regrow, so it's tahar. Vim lav, but if not, tameh, then it's even makabel tumah. So now, by Rav Pap asks as follows, Maoshi asa yad lechaveroi. Could it be considered a yad? And this means the part of this branch, which could heal, got cracked in a way that can't heal. So is the main branch able to be a yad for the smaller one, transferring tumah to that smaller broken part? Or maybe not? And once again, we conclude teiku. Here we have one more question, and this is about a house that has tsaras on it. We know that a kohen would come to determine what the din is, so either it's fine, or the stones with tsaras need to be removed, and worst case scenario, if the tsaras comes back, the entire house has to be destroyed. Now, another important thing to know is that with semi-attached homes, even though the shared wall was of double thickness, in essence making it that each house is freestanding, there were still often a few stones that were very large and actually used by both houses, because that created more stable structure. So let's say tsaras was on one of those stones. And that's where this question is coming from. Amr Zer says as follows, Hare Amr, they said that Evan Shabazavis, a stone which is in the corner, meaning one of these stones that's used by both houses, and only one of the houses has tsaras on it, and that stone also has Tukshu Chaylet, when he's removing that stone, which is stage one, that all the stones that have tsaras have to be removed, Chaylet says cool, he has to remove the entire stone, even the part which is in his neighbor's wall. However, if he's demolishing the house, that's stage two, he only demolishes the stones that are in his house, and he leaves the stones which are shared with his neighbor. Now, Rav Zera asks, what about this long stone, which is also being used by his neighbor, is it considered a yad? Do we say that since the part in house one has saras on it, so it's tameh, that transfers the tumah to the other part of the stone in his neighbor's house, and now it's metameh everything in his neighbor's house, or maybe not? And the Gemara concludes as well, teiku. Now going to the next stage of the Mishnah, remember we're talking about an aver, a basar, medoldol, and we had said, mesa behema, if the animal dies, so the aver is considered aver menachai, and not nevela. Ask Gemara, my ekabein aver menachai, lo aver shal nevela. What's the difference between an aver that comes from a live animal versus an aver that comes from a dead animal? Either which way, in this situation, the animal's dead, so why do I care if this aver is considered aver menachai or aver from nevela? They're both metame. And the answer is, ekabein, the difference is, basar aparish menu, meat which comes off of the aver, it's separated from the aver. And really, the proper gear is to take out the next two words, me aver behema, because they're redundant, and here's a clarification. The ilu basar aparish me aver menachai, if meat came off of aver menachai, loy metame, it's not metame anymore, because it's not aver menachai, it's basar that came off of that aver. Whereas me aver menanevela, metame, if meat came off of an aver that's nevela, so it is metame, because the meat itself is considered nevela. Ask the Gemara, aver menachai metame micro, what's our source that aver menachai is metame? The answer is, Rabbi Yehuda Marav, the pasuk tells us, v'chiyamos min ha-behema. Literally translated, this means, when from a behema dies. It doesn't say v'chiyamos behema, when an animal dies. It says, when from an animal animal dies. Mashma, that just part of the animal died, that's still metamek, and that would be Aver min hachai. Ask the Gemara, v'hayim b'ayle l'chidich Rav Yehuda Marav. We need this pasuk for a different Josh with the B'shem Rav. Om Rav Yehuda Marav, v'amrilon, some say, masisa tanu, tanu b'raisa. The pasuk tells us, chiyamos min ha-behema. What do we learn from here? Miktas behema metama, miktas behema ain't a metama. Sometimes an animal is going to be metame, but sometimes not. And v'ezu zu, what is this? An animal that's dead, but not metame? Zu trefa sheshachta. This is an animal which is a trefa and had one of these health defects that makes it unable to eat. But if a person shechted it, so it's not metame as nevela. We've already had this many times earlier in the mesechta. This is called shechita metah rasa mishum nevela. As we see, we need this pasuk for something else. The Gemara answers that no. Im kein lechta rachmana mi behema. If we're only learning one thing from it, the pasuk should simply say mi behema, from an animal. My min ha behema. Why this double extra lashon? Shmaminatarti. We see we can learn both drashas from here. Ask the Gemara, Yachi, if that's so, afilu basar nami. Then even basar min hachai, not basar that's separated from an aver min hachai. That's what we were just talking about previously. Now we're asking on basar min hachai, a piece of flesh that was separated from a live animal. That should also be metame based off of this drasha. Says the Gemara, lois agadaitach, don't think that. Tanya, because we have a brisa. Yachi, basar parash min hachai tame. You might think that flesh that was separated from a live animal is tame. So to that, tamalami, the pasuk says, v'chi yamos min habehema. When something from an animal dies, what's the emphasis here? Ma misa she'in oisa chalipin. Just like when an animal dies, it's not oisa chalipin. It doesn't regenerate. It doesn't regrow itself. It's dead. Af kol she'in oisa chalipin. So to anything that falls off of an animal, which will not regenerate itself and regrow, so that has a din of eiver min hachai. As opposed to meat, if a chunk of meat gets cut off of an animal when it's alive, the animal will heal and will regrow that piece of meat. Therefore, it's not tame as basar min hachai. Divrei Rabbi Yosi, that's Rabbi Yosi's opinion. Really, it's Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Now, Rabbi Kiva Omer, he says differently. The pasuk tells us behema. What do we learn from here? Ma behema gidim v'atzamos. Just like an animal has gidim and atzamos, sinews and bones, I've called gidim v'atzamos. So to anything that comes from an animal that has gidim and atzamos is going to be tame as eiver min hachai. But just plain basar doesn't have gidim and atzamos, so it's not tame as coming from a chai. Now Rabbi Omer, he says something very similar. Behema. What do we learn from this word? Ma behema basar gidim v'atzamos. Just like a behema, an eiver that comes from it has meat, gidim, and atzamos, I've called basar gidim v'atzamos. So to anything that comes from the animal, which is basar gidim and atzamos, is going to be tame as eiver min hachai, but not if it's just plain basar. Ask the Gemara, my ikbein Rabbi the Rabbi Kiva. What's the difference between Rabbi and Rabbi Kiva? They seem to be saying almost the same thing. The answer is ikbenayu arkuva. The difference is arkuva, which is the leg from the lower joint and down. This doesn't have basar, but it has gidim and atzamos. So according to Rabbi Kiva, it would be tame as eiver min hachai, whereas according to Rabbi, since it doesn't have basar, it's not. Now we clarify the first two shitas. Bein Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, my ikbenayu. What's the difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili? They both say that eiver min hachai is metame and basar min hachai is not, but they have different drushes. So what's the practical difference between them? Amar of Papa, he explains, kulya v'nisvasayim ikibinayu, the kulya, which is a kidney, and nisvasayim, which is the lips. That's the difference between the two of them. These do not regenerate if they're cut off the animal. Memela, korn tribyesi, they are mitame. However, since they do not have bones and gidim, Rabbi Kiva would hold that they're not mitame. Now the Gemara continues with the exact same drusha. Tainami gabe shrotzim kahagavno. We have the exact same drusha and discussion regarding dead shrotzim and an aver or basar that comes from it. Says the Brisa, yachal, you might think, basar parshman shrotzim yehe tame, that just plain basar that comes from a live sheretz is bitame. Tamlam to that, the pasuk says, bimmay sum. What do we learn from here? Ma misa she'ino isa chalipin. Just like when it dies, it doesn't regenerate, doesn't regrow, it's dead. Av kol she'ino isa chalipin. So to anything that comes from a live sheretz that's not going to regenerate, that's going to be tame as aver min hachai, but not basar, because that will regenerate. The Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that's Rabbi Yosi Aglili's opinion. Rabbi Kiva Emer, he says, sheretz. What do we learn from here? Ma sheretz gidim atzamos. Just like a sheretz is gidim atzamos, av kol gidim atzamos. So to anything that comes from sheretz, which is gidim atzamos, is going to be tame as aver min hachai. Now Rabbi Emer, he says, sheretz. Ma sheretz basar gidim atzamos, av kol basar gidim atzamos. And we continue, bein Rabbi the Rabbi Kiva ikbenayu arkuva. The difference between Rabbi and Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that arkuva, this lower joint of the leg, since it has gidim atzamos, according to Rabbi Kiva, it is metame. Whereas according to Rabbi, since it doesn't have basar, it's not metame. And bein Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, my ikbenayu. What's the difference between Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Kiva? So Rabbi Papa, he explains over here the same thing. Kul yivnusvasayim ikbenayu. The difference is the kul yivnusvasayim, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, it is metame because it's not going to regenerate if it's cut off. According to Rabbi Kiva, since it doesn't have gidim atzamos, it's not going to be metame. And here we have the clarification of tzricho. We need both of these drashas, one regarding a regular animal, one regarding a sheretz. Di ashmina behema. If we only has drasha by behema, hainutam dolay metame mechayim. I might say the reason why basar is not metame when it's cut off a live animal is mishum dolay metame mechadasha. That's because basar of an avela is not so strict. It's not metame the size of an adasha, a lentil. Avol sheretz metame mechadasha and metame mechayim. But a sheretz, that even a lentil sized piece of it is metame when it's dead. So I might say that even when the flesh is cut off when it's alive, it's metame. So that's why I have to have drasha by shrotzim. And viashmina sheretz, if we only have drasha by shrotzim, I might say mishum dolay metame maso, loy metame mechayim. Since a dead sheretz is not metame masa, a person just carries it without touching it. So that's why basar that's cut off a live sheretz is not metame. Avol behema, metame masa, and metame mechayim. But a dead animal animal, which is metame masa, so maybe a piece that comes off of a live animal should be metame. And tzricha, that's why we have to have both drashas. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue with a similar discussion regarding meat becoming tame and what it needs for that. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.